Today, as we continue in our series, I'd like to underline the fact that last week we discovered, of course, no surprise to us as Christians, that as often and as many times as truth has been twisted, as many times that this world has tried to distort the truth that God has presented to us, that truth is found in Jesus Christ. And the devil will continue to try to twist. The devil will continue to try to distort. He will continue to try to lead us astray. He will continue to try to lie to us. But as long as we turn to God's Word, as long as we discover that Jesus Christ, because He Himself said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, that ought to be good enough. Shouldn't it be? And yet, Satan continues to try to find ways to lead us in other directions. I'd like for you, if you have your Bibles with you, if you don't, there's one in the pew in front of you there. I'd like to turn to the book of Luke, the 7th chapter. Sharon just read for us the passage of Scripture that I would like to draw my remarks from this morning. As we look at this passage of Scripture, you can hear the utter despair and helplessness just seems to come right out of the page. In fact, if you look at verse 12, Luke chapter 7, verse 12, it says, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. I want you to think about that for a moment. The only, underlying the word, only son of a mother, and she was a widow. Keeping in mind that this was before the days of Social Security and 401ks, this was before the days that people had insurance, this was before the days when people could depend on other people to help them in times of need. This woman was a widow who was dependent upon her son for survival. Her son was now dead in a casket being carried towards the graveyard. She was alone with no future, no hope for a place to call her home. I want you to catch the utter despair and the utter hopelessness of the condition that this woman has found herself in. And if you do a little digging and you know your history and you might do a little sociology, you will discover that there were really very few choices for this woman in her future. She might become a beggar on the side of the street. She could sell herself into slavery and hope that her master would care for her. She could become a prostitute. Or she could just die. But the weeping and the lamenting becomes louder. The men carrying the casket stagger under the weight of the casket as they walk down that road, that narrow pathway outside of the city, down to the graveyard. They're headed down the road to a place of death outside of the city. Picture that, if you will, for just a moment in your mind's eye. A group of people weeping and wailing as they stagger and make their way down this winding pathway in utter despair, in total hopelessness. There is a dark cloud of despair hanging over that group. They are sad to the depths of their souls. There is no hope. This poor woman has nothing to look forward to. There is nothing that is bright in her horizon. Now, in contrast, we see another group making its way up the path towards the city on the hill. This group of people are walking lightly as they step and make their way along that path. The crowd is happy. It is animated. It is laughing spontaneously. At the front of this group is a man who seems to be their leader, and periodically he stops by the way and he points to trees by the way and picks a flower and he begins to talk to the people, and they listen carefully at every word that he says. You see that group? And then you see the sad group. You have the happy group and the sad group. The group that seems to have hope and the group that has no hope. And as you watch from a distance, these two groups make their way towards each other. You wonder what is going to happen. You wonder what will take place when those two groups meet each other, because obviously they are very different groups. And suddenly, as you watch the two groups come to a meeting point there in the middle of the road, a moment of awkward silence. For you see, middle spaces are often awkward places. There are always moments of tension. Do you have a middle space in your life? A place where you stood in the middle, wondering which way, whether to go back or to move forward? A place of uncertainty, or possibly a place of confidence. A place where there is sadness and sorrow, or a place where there's joy and happiness. Those middle spaces, those places of tension. Middle spaces are often awkward places. And on this day, it was no exception. You see, death and despair was staring into the eyes of eternal life and hope. Who would blink first? Who would be victorious this day? Would it be death or would it be life? You see, it's almost like a boxing match. Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner we have Lucifer, the father of lies, the prince of darkness, the king of death. And in this corner we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the one who will break the chains of death and be victorious. Middle spaces are often awkward places, aren't they? They're places of decision. They are places of confrontation. But Jesus breaks the silence. Jesus breaks the silence, that awkward moment, that awkward place, that middle space. Jesus steps forward and he breaks the silence and he says to that poor woman, that widow who now lost her only son, that woman who was in despair with no hope, he says, "Don't cry." What an awkward, strange, and insensitive thing to say to a mother who has just lost her only son. I wouldn't recommend that any of you try that at a funeral. To tell someone who has just lost their very dearly beloved, "Don't cry." Oh, but Jesus knows. You see, Jesus, even though he was standing in that awkward place, even though he was looking into the eyes of death, Jesus knew, because Jesus had proclaimed himself that he was the resurrection and the life. You remember that story. Jesus was with his very best friends, Mary and Martha, when he said that. "I am the resurrection." Jesus knows. Don't you like the way Jesus handles this awkward space? This awkward place? I like it. We see a progression in how Jesus relates to this awkward space, how he relates to this very awkward moment. Jesus, first of all, says, "Do not cry." He could say that with authority because he knew that he could change that moment for that woman in that place. And with confidence, he steps forward. If you see the progression here, you will see that first of all, the very first thing is that Luke records for us here that the heart of Jesus went out to her. Let me remind you that whenever you are in an awkward place in your life, whenever you are in a point of making a decision, when you are wondering between which way you should go, remember that Jesus is always there and his heart is going out to you. Jesus cares. He is compassionate. You know what this else, what else this says to me? It says that Jesus has emotions. That's important. So many people have such an unfortunate view of God. And let's not forget that Jesus was here on this earth to represent the Father. Jesus has emotions, and those emotions lead him to reach out to this woman. His heart goes out to her. The other thing I like in this passage of Scripture is that he speaks to her. You know, he could have turned to one of his disciples and said, would you tell this woman? Or why don't you just tell her not to cry, don't worry. We'll take care of this. You know, when the centurion came, in fact, the story right before this passage here in chapter 7, the centurion, of course, had a similar situation, except Jesus didn't go personally, did he? He said, don't worry, I'll just speak. Don't worry, your daughter is going to be healed. But in this situation, Jesus himself meets this person face to face, eye to eye. His heart goes out to her and he says, do not cry. He speaks to her. And the words of Jesus calm the heart. Have you ever found that to be true in your life? At times when you're in despair, at times when you feel hopeless, at times when you feel that your life is going nowhere, or you're at a point of decision making or intention in your life. Have you ever turned to God's Word and discovered that the Word of God, the words of God, are comforting to your soul? His words comfort our fears. Because Jesus knows. It also is interesting to me that in this passage of Scripture, Luke records for us some very interesting details. You know, by the way, you need to know that Luke never knew Jesus. I've said that many times before, but let's remind ourselves. Luke never knew Jesus. Luke gathered these stories by talking to the disciples and the followers of Jesus, those who were eyewitnesses, those who had seen Jesus with their eyes, those who had heard his words with their ears, those who had walked the paths that Jesus had walked side by side. Eyewitness accounts. It says that he reached out and he touched the casket. There is something about touching a casket that to most of us is not a very comfortable thing. There is something about a casket. It symbolizes death. It symbolizes finalness. It symbolizes things that we often don't want to be involved in or deal with. But Jesus was not afraid of touching death because he knew that he was going to be victorious over death. He knew that he was the resurrection and the life. And so Jesus was not afraid to come in contact with death and dying. It says he reaches out and he touched the casket. Jesus, I like that. Jesus took control of the moment. There in that awkward space, there in that tension, and there when he could have easily gotten by with so much less, Jesus became involved. He reached out and he touched. He took control. He had no fear of death. He had no fear. He is the resurrection and the life. But he's not through, because the record shows that Jesus then commands the son to get up. As if the son was just asleep, or as if the son was just laying there, and all he had to do was just sit up. As simple as that. But you know, the fact of is, the record tells us that the son was dead. He was not just comatose. He was not just sick. He was not just laying there. He was in the casket on his way to be buried. And Jesus simply says, just get up. You see, there was no question in Jesus' mind that when he spoke, he would speak with authority. And what he willed was the will of the Father. He was so connected with his Father. He spoke and told the Son to just get up. Christ's divinity flashed forth from his humanity in the power of God. Was in his very fingertips. The power of God flashed forth, and that man sat up and he began to speak. And the final picture we get here is Jesus giving that son back to the mother. Do you see that? Jesus is giving that son that was once dead back to the mother who was once hopelessly alone and sad. Tears of sadness turn to tears of joy. The weeping and wailing of that funeral procession becomes a procession of joy and praise and adoration to God. In fact, it tells us right here in the scriptures, they were all filled with awe and praised God. Middle places are sometimes awkward places. But when we allow Jesus to step into our lives, when we allow the healing power of God to energize our lives, to come into our lives and to heal our lives, that moment of awkwardness becomes a moment of awe. Jesus gave her son back to her. The casket was now empty. What do you do with an empty casket? I can imagine as we watch these two groups come together, and then there's this moment of tension, this moment, and suddenly the two groups begin to merge, and as that son comes out of that casket, the group begins to swirl around, and they begin to shout and praise and to give glory to God. They begin to dance with joy that those two groups that were so different now suddenly become one big group, praising God. Giving glory to God. The two crowds emerge and become a group that follows Jesus. So you ask the question, why does Dr. Luke tell us this story? By the way, why would he pick this one story? Because we know that there were many stories about Jesus' healing. How do you know that? If you go to chapter 7, verse 21, it says, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases and sicknesses and evil spirits and gave sight to many who were blind. You see? Jesus didn't just perform one miracle that day and then go his way. No, it says he went on and began to perform many miracles. Why does Luke choose this one story to tell us, 2,000 years later, to tell us about who Jesus really was, to tell us about the truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Well, if you know history, you will know that it was only a few decades later that a false teacher would begin to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. A man by the name of Arian. I've mentioned his name before. The Arian heresy came as a mighty, mighty force in the early Christian church. It crept into the church and almost destroyed it. Even Constantine himself, the first heretic emperor, even he himself got in on the act and sided with Arius. Constantine, the heretic ruler, would allow a flood of pagan ideas and rituals to entrench themselves in Christianity, and even to this day, we see the results of Constantine's heresies working in Christendom today. I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write down these stories, even with the details that we have here, because he knew that later on men like Hegel would bring in questions about who Jesus really was, and would further open the doors to modern systems of thought that would again question Christ's divinity. Looking down into the future, I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write down this story because it has pictured for us, beyond a question of a doubt, that Jesus was the Son of God. That Jesus was divine. That Jesus had power from on high to even bring the dead out of the grave, to even bring those who were captured by death. He had the power to bring life back into their bodies. There was no question in anyone's mind that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah, the Son of God. So even today, in the minds of many, there is this awkward space. This place where there might be tension in our lives, there might be tension in our spiritual journey. We might be wondering and questioning, does Jesus really care about me? Does He really care? All we have to do is go back and look at the example of recorded for us here in the book of Luke about Jesus and how He cared for that widow who lost her only son. How He reached out and He touched that woman's life and He restored her son to her. He gave her hope. But there are still places in our lives that are awkward spaces. I would challenge you that whenever you find yourself in that place, wondering which way to go, when you find yourself in that place in life where something has happened to you that has broken, has messed up your equilibrium, your spiritual equilibrium, I recommend that you go back and read the stories in the Gospels and the Bible about Jesus. Because Jesus Himself said, I am the truth. If you want to know what truth is, you need to go back to the source of truth and study that truth. As Francis Schaeffer said, true truth is found in Jesus Christ. True truth. But for those who still believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, those awkward places in life eventually become places of awe as we see Jesus working in our everyday lives, as we see Jesus working in the lives of others to bring about healing, to bring about redemption, to bring about salvation. And so when you are standing on the path of life and it has become a place of awkwardness, I recommend to you Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Everything else is just fluff. Let's continue to worship God as we sing.